right?
Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. This beautiful day that you created, that you've made. We thank you that you are sovereign. We honor you as the creator. We honor you as the God that created the universe. We honor you for your holiness. We thank you for your goodness. From my heart, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. We appreciate you. You're so good to us. Everybody lift your hands and say, God, you're so good to us. And we appreciate you. Speak to us this morning. Open up our ears. Open up our hearts. We want to see Jesus. In Jesus' name we do pray. Everybody say amen. So we've been, it's been a while. Everybody say it's been a while. So what's been a while? It's been a while since I've been here teaching at the House of Judah. It's been a while, but I'm so excited to see everybody. I'm just missing these teeth. If you could do me a favor, just give me the biggest smile as you can under these masks, and just I have to use my imagination. I can really see. Yes, if somebody want to take your mat. No, I'm just kidding. Do what you will. All right, but I definitely, man, honor everybody here this morning. And you do look good in Jesus, as many teachers and preachers say. You look good in Jesus. Look at somebody and say, hey, you really do look good. But it has to be in Jesus. that's the icing on the cake. That's like the extra wardrobe that we need. All right. So we're in the, awesome, it's on the screen. Heart of the Matter, you have your worksheets. And so this series, I want to focus on a great cardiologist or a great doctor ask questions. A good doctor ask questions. A good doctor. Everybody say, a good doctor. A good doctor ask questions. And we know a cardiologist they deal with the heart. And so five questions your doctor should always ask. All right? And you can write them down on your paper if you like. Number one, your doctor should ask you, what's been going on with you lately? Hey, Dr. Melba, I'm coming in today. And he should say, what's been going on with you lately? What's been going on in recently in your life? Did you just get married? Actually, when my wife and I, when we first got married, we got married, we moved. Actually, that's great, right? But it can actually cause your blood, too much change can cause your blood pressure to rise. No, don't read that the wrong way. I was happy to be married. All right. But a lot of change can really affect your blood pressure, and it can affect your heart. A lot of change. But number two, your doctor should ask you, what brought you here today? And why does it concern you? Everybody say, be honest when the doctor asks you questions. So I'm one of those guys that you may not have to look at your neighbor, but if you could just talk back with me. And I know it's a little muffled, so when I'm teaching in school, I teach the teachers, if you want people to understand you, just talk a little bit higher. All right? And so just be honest with the doctor. Number three, do I have the story and details right? Your doctor should say to you, Alpheus, am I interpreting what you told me right? Number four, does what I said make sense? We know the doctor sometimes will prescribe prescriptions, will give us instructions. And so the doctor should say, does what I said make sense? Does that make sense? All right. Number five, what changes will you make going forward? Five things every doctor should ask. The question is a call to action. The ball is in your court. So how can questions be? Why are we talking about questions this morning? I do have a scripture that I want to lift, so don't worry. I'm not just going to be up here talking. Amen? I do have a scripture that I want to lift. But why are we talking about questions this morning? Everybody say questions. Why are we talking about questions? How can questions be a catalyst for change? Benefits of questions. One, we learn about life through questions. There's space on your sheet for this as well. Number two, The more we question, the better answers we get. We learn about life through questions. Even as a child, we naturally start learning about the world with observing life and asking questions and cause and effect. Children are curious. They are curious. They get into a lot of troubles. And kids want to know what? Why? Number three, the quality of our lives depends. Thank you, Josh, for so like you sound like you was a one in the football game. I like that decibel. I need that decibel. The quality of our lives depends on questions we ask. Quality life comes from quality questions. Submitting that to you guys this morning. Number four, questioning makes you open. Questioning makes you open. And this comes actually from, I think the website is success.com, something like that. Questioning makes you open. We do have a default setting in making decisions. Our own bias gets in the way sometimes. But there is a wiser, there is a better way. Everybody say there's a better way. The Bible says there's safety in the multitude of what? In the multitude of counsel. Asking the right questions. The next one is asking the right questions creates happiness. We know how peace and harmony feels, but do we understand what caused these feelings? When we entertain this deep question, we begin to understand how to feel at peace more often. And of course, I choose to believe that in Psalm 16 and 11, it says, in God's presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Amen. In God's presence, that's where my happiness comes from. Amen. The last one is, it's good to ask yourself simple but deep questions. What does happiness mean to me? What is the most important thing in my life? Look around your house and say, do I really need this? Do I really need this? Do I really need 18 pairs of shoes? Yes, well, the ladies and all the ladies said, amen. I'm trying to get down. I think I shared this with Josh the other day. I'm trying to get down to about 10 shirts. Just 10 shirts. That's what I'm trying to get down to, amen. But if I keep losing weight, I'm gonna have to get 10 new shirts, amen. Look at your phone and ask, what numbers do I really need? These are simple but deep questions. The more often we ask ourselves important questions, the easier it is to accept ourselves and take charge in changing our lives for the better. Amen. How many want to change? I think it starts with a question. A good doctor asks questions, all right? A good doctor asks good questions. And that brings me to Matthew 9:4. If you want to turn to it, if you want to look at it on the screen, Matthew 9:4. This is Jesus talking to, actually, he's talking to some teachers. All right, young people, kids, do you like your teachers? You like your teachers? What's your favorite teacher name? You're not sure? What's your favorite subject? Math. Math is your favorite subject. So Jesus is talking to a teacher. They also called him a scribe here in what we're about to read, okay? This is what Jesus is, he's got something to say. Everybody say, Jesus got something to say? Jesus says here, this is what Matthew 9:4 says, knowing their thoughts, read it with me, ready, set, go. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you think, some translations say entertain, why do you think entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Jesus is asking this question to a group of individuals that did not like what he just did in Matthew 9:1-4. Jesus basically healed a man. What's wrong with that? That's a good thing. But then he also said, be forgiven of your sins. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you are forgiven for your sins. And Matthew 9:1-4. And these teachers said, bruh, you are blaspheming. Like, this ain't right. What gives you the authority? Because they are looking at Jesus as just a man. So they say, what gives you the right? One, you healed this man. Nothing's wrong with that, right? But he takes it a step further. He said, your sins, You are forgiven of your sins. And so they had a problem with Jesus, but they didn't say it to his face. They had a problem with Jesus, but they didn't say it to his face. Anybody ever heard some chatter about you in the community? And you'd be like, just, you know where I live. Say it to my face. Like, they are quick to say something on Instagram, but they're not quick to pull up at your house and say what they're thinking. These teachers, these scribes, were thinking something, and Jesus knew their thoughts, because not only did he heal the man of palsy, he actually knew that this man was dealing with something internally. Jesus knows what we're thinking. The Bible says, knowing their thoughts, he asked these teachers, why do you think evil thoughts in your heart? I think they had a problem with what Jesus did and said because they knew they were next. They knew if he had the ability as a man to do this, he was not just a man. Somebody shout, God was not just a man. I mean, Jesus was not just a man. Let's clarify. Jesus was not just a man. That's why he had the ability to look. It's almost like he had one of those superpowers, young people. He had superpowers. I mean, you probably know it as superpowers, to see through somebody. What's the character that kind of does that? I don't watch a lot of the Marvel. Anyway, so he had superpowers to be able to see through somebody. And they knew that, listen, Linda, they knew that they were potentially next. I think that's why they really had an issue with it. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he asked, why do you think evil thoughts in your heart? Everybody say, why? Everybody say, why? He challenged their hearts with a powerful question. This actually reminds me of this movie that I saw a while back. It's been years. It's called A Family That Prays. Raise your hand if you've seen this movie. It's called A Family That Prays. And Alice, the young lady on your right, my left, she was asking her son this question. And the son was saying to his mama, mama, you don't trust me. If you've seen the movie, you know why. You know what was going on here. But this man had a lot of things going on in his what? In his heart. And the mama could detect it. It's something about mamas. They know when something ain't right. You can't fool God, and you can't fool who? You can't fool mama. Mama said, Mama said, it is not that I don't trust you, son. It's your inner thoughts that give me pause. Because he had a plot to betray his own mama. And she could see right through it. A good doctor asks questions. Something about the question. Matthew 9:4, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you think entertain evil thoughts in your heart? This is not the first time I've looked at this passage here at Judah, but we're talking about the heart this month. Amen? And it's all about, I don't know about you guys, I'm on a journey to want to know why. It's something about, like, how did I end up here? Why am I continually thinking this? Why am I doing this? It's something about just asking yourself, humbling yourself, and putting yourself on the chopping block. Do y'all know how humbling that is? That's like, all right, Alphaeus, why do you entertain? Why do you ponder? Why do you meditate? Why do you rotate? Why do you spin? Why do you think? Why do you entertain? Why do you host? That's why we have a suitcase up here. Why do you host? We're the house. And we see the suitcase. Why do you entertain evil thoughts? You have a thought. I try to create this graphic. Hopefully, I'm not a graphic designer. But why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Look what happens when a thought is put on repeat. And you muse about a particular thought. It keeps going deeper and deeper. You meditate. You entertain. You ponder. You actually become a muse with what you're thinking. If thoughts are not dealt with, it ends up becoming a suitcase full of stuff. And when I say evil thoughts, we all have opinions about evil and what is evil, but have you considered things like disbelief or unbelief is actually evil? That makes sense? And so it could be things like that in the suitcase. It started off as a thought. Now it's a suitcase full of evil thoughts in your heart that wants to move in. Now, my wife is not here today, so I can tell the story. Y'all, listen. Listen, Linda. Her mom came to the house. Her sister came to the house. Are we streaming? And my mom's brother-in-law came to the house. They were just coming just to drop by. 1 hour went by. Don't you tell this. 2 hours went by. 3 hours went by. So, you know, we fix a little food. We say, here's a throw, because we keep the house cold. We like it at 63, 64 in the winter. In the wintertime, we just cut it off at night and just let the chips fall where they may. So here's a throw. We were doing what? We were entertaining. We were being a host, a good host. Man, it turned into 4 hours. I love my mother-in-law. That's all I'm going to say. Her sister and then my uncle. They end up going to the car, I don't know, and pulling out a suitcase and say, you know what? They call my wife Danny. Danny, we're just gonna stay over for the night. I'm like, where you get these suitcases from? Y'all was just dropping by. You didn't tell us you were. We don't know where you're gonna sleep. But apparently we were a good host. We did some great entertaining. That suitcases came out full of stuff. I said, this one day, because 1 hour turned into 4 hours and 4 hours turned into a day. A day could turn in. Listen, one day is 1,000 years is like one day in God's sight. In other words, I'm like, are they moving in? In other words, when you do a good job entertaining something, it will eventually want to move in. Everybody say, why? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Ask yourself, am I a good host for evil thoughts? Now, listen, guys, thoughts are going to come. Evil thoughts are going to come. How do we host those things? How do we host when somebody offends us? How do we host when somebody does XYZ to us? How do we host a thought or a thought that is presented to us at the gas station, at the barber shop? I feel like I needed a bath after a barber shop. We're streaming. I feel like I needed a bath after being in one barber shop. It's like, bruh, what y'all playing up in here? But don't I look good in Jesus? Things we do. Jesus' questions triggers metacognition. This is a term that we see a lot in education. I actually presented this term before, but it's worth reviewing. Everybody say meta. We know that from Facebook these days. Metacognition, all right? Basically, a loose definition of this term is basically thinking about your thoughts. It's being aware of the thought process. It's like the scientific method on your thoughts. Y'all remember the scientific method when we were their age? Do you remember the science? Can you give me at least one aspect of the scientific method? You can come up here. I'm okay. We got about 10 more minutes. Okay, yeah, y'all clap your hands for him. I don't have not one prize. I gave out 5 Starbucks gift cards yesterday, but where's your folks' parents? You owe him a Starbucks gift card. Metacognition is like the scientific method on your thoughts. One aspect of the scientific method is?
Hypothesis,
which is the conclusion. Y'all clap your hands for him. And then the main one is?
Ask a question.
Y'all clap your hands for him. Gift card on your parents. You may be seated. Jesus was basically triggering metacognition. He said, why? When you ask why, parents go into a room, why you ain't clean up your room? Are you looking for an answer? But I know that question will make me say, I knew I shouldn't have went up the street. I knew I shouldn't have did this. It makes me think about where I am. Everybody say why. Jesus' question triggers metacognition. This is metacognition at work. Basically, when we put a surveillance camera on our own thoughts, when we put a camera on our thinking, what will it reveal? This is nobody else doing this. This is Alpheus doing this with my own internal, with my own mind, with my own heart. Because thinking is tied to your heart. The heart is very complicated. Amen? It's very complicated. It's hard to explain. But you put a surveillance camera on your thoughts, and then you replay what you have discovered about your own thinking process. That's metacognition. And that's the power of asking a question like, why? And then when we study our thoughts, we may need to rewind. Everybody say rewind. We may need to report, delete something, get some stuff out of the way. All right, it's time for y'all to go home. Love you, family. No, I'm just kidding. Analyze, transcribe. Have you guys considered transcribing what you're thinking on a daily? Like, and be honest about a recurring something and literally say, and literally transcribe what you're thinking. And see what you're thinking on paper. Consider doing that. Also cataloging. And then pivoting. And make changes. All because of metacognition. All because Jesus asking, why do you entertain? Now the ball is in my court to actually answer that somehow. Everybody say, why? I just wanted to pause for a second. The heart of the matter. We think some crazy stuff sometimes. I'm not trying to make you laugh, guys. And I don't even know why y'all have been laughing, all right? You're laughing now. But questions help you get to the root of things. Like, what is it in me and in my heart when somebody pays for my meal, I get a free meal. I say right after they pay for my meal, I don't say thank you. I say, I should have ordered more. What is it in me when I see a documentary on a robbery and I role play in my own mind? I say, you know what? He got caught. But if it was me, I would do X, Y, Z so I wouldn't get caught. What is it in my heart that is now aligning myself with evil deeds or with wicked ways? Does that make sense? That's just the question I'm asking. What is it in me? So metacognition would say, Alpheus, why are you so entertained by this? Because if I keep musing about XYZ, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Why do you entertain these thoughts in your heart? The good news, everybody say it's good news. Everybody say good news. There's good news, all right? Y'all feeling okay? Y'all feeling okay? Maybe about 8-7 minutes. Is that okay? Tariel, I'm all right. It's a good Sunday school lesson. Good news is Jesus specializes in heart problems. Matthew 9 says, so Jesus, he loves heart problems. I know it sounds interesting. Matthew 9 says, verse 10, all right, if you want to turn to it. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, by the way, in the same passage, Jesus recruited Matthew. He said, Matthew, hey, Matt, come here, come with me. Matthew said, all right, okay. They've been rocking ever since, all right? So you got Matthew writing this while Jesus was having dinner with me. So if Matthew's writing this, he's saying, while Jesus was having dinner with me. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Y'all read with me since y'all going to sleep on me. Verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners, a.k.a. sick folks. So Jesus is eating with tax collectors and who? Sinners. But he's telling the Pharisees, listen, I am eating with these folks because I've come to earth for what kind of folks? Sick folks. But if I'm sitting there with Jesus, I'm like, Jesus, we can hear you. You're telling the Pharisees you come for sick folks. I ain't sick because you're eating with me. I actually feel pretty good. These guys that are eating with Jesus, the tax collectors, the sinners, if Jesus is having this conversation with the Pharisees and saying, listen, Jesus saying, I'm come for sick folk. They could say, listen, the lady you healed the other day with the issue of blood, she's sick. That little girl that you healed, now she was sick. We sitting here chilling. We eating. Can I get another drink? We're eating. We ain't sick. Because there's also a metaphysical sickness. There's metaphysical issues. There's immaterial issues that we deal with, that we need to deal with. And that's what our heart, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the organ heart. We're talking about the levav. We're talking about the heart, the metaphysical heart. We're talking about what you can't see. And if those guys keep hanging out with Jesus, you know what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen, guys? I'm almost finished. What do you think is going to happen? You keep hanging around Jesus. You keep eating with Jesus, and you're a sinner. You keep coming to church and then leaving and not necessarily wanting to change. What do you think is going to happen? These tax collectors and sinners eating with Jesus. If you knew in the previous verse, he asked a question, what do you think could happen in this? I'm saying this, we're just using our imagination. Is that okay? What do you think could happen in this verse that's not documented? He could do what? Serve them up some more what? More questions. And then with the questions, will likely come change. Somebody's thankful for change. Anybody else thankful for change? Anybody thankful God in the wee hours of the night kind of nudge you and you thought it was your wife and it wasn't your wife, you thought it was your husband. You're like, somebody pushed me and it was nobody. It was God nudging you and asking you a question. Hey, bro, why are you doing that? Why are you thinking that? Why do you think evil thoughts in your heart? Jesus is the chief cardiologist, and he is qualified to treat the immaterial, the levav, the cardia. I believe it's pronounced in the Greek. He is so qualified. He is the chief. He is the greatest. He is the superlative adjective. He is the best to treat the immaterial issues in our heart. The heart is complex. This is a working definition, but the heart deals with the inner man. Read this on the left for me, guys. Almost finished. Maybe 3 minutes. Ready, set, go. Inner man, mind, will, decision. So it's connected to the heart. Understanding, desires, and intellect. The inner part, knowledge. Of course, thinking, reflection, memory, inclination, resolution, determination of will. Why do you think evil hearts, evil thoughts in your will, in your conscience? Why are evil thoughts lurking there? All right? Your seat of emotions and passions, your seat of appetite and desires. So now the heart seems different. That question in your heart, in all of this. So it makes sense. If all of these things, these issues are in my heart, then you see how it affects my decisions? It could affect what comes out of my what? My mouth. Proverbs 4:23 says, read it with me, ready, set, go. Keep thine heart with the utmost care, for out of these are the issues of life. Listen, the best of us are having to, we got to take care of our hearts. Amen. Yes, run, drink a lot of water, a gallon a day. Anybody else with me on the gallon a day? Yes. It's, put a little lemon, a little strawberries. Anybody want to do a gallon a day? Well, just, why do you not do? I'm just kidding. Keep your heart pure. Listen, questions will reveal what you need to let go. Questions will reveal what you need to let go. What do we need to let go? Because questions will absolutely reveal what we need to let go. Keep holding on to it, but all you have to do, listen, Linda, all we got to do is just let it go. I'm holding this glass of water for 9 seconds. It's okay. It's not painful. 30 seconds is okay because I've been in the gym, so it's okay. I can. True story. My wife and I, we actually worked out with, so committed to it, we got 2 bottles of water, water bottles, and we worked out like they were weights. True story. I mean, committed to it. I hold this for 19 minutes. What's going to happen? Get a little tired. What about for 90 minutes? You couldn't do it? Give it up in 90 minutes? $1 million on the line. 19 hours. I'm holding on to this. It seems like the solution is very simple. And all somebody have to do is ask Alpheus, Alpheus, why are you holding on to this? All you have to do is do what? Just let it go. Everybody say, let it go. Everybody get your hands up like this. I really appreciate you guys just kind of participating, getting the blood flowing, get some calories. We can't get our steps sitting down, but just put your hands right here and say, let it go, bruh. Because it's painful and the solution is so simple. We look good on the outside, but internally, it's painful because all we really need to do, I know it's easier said than done, but perhaps I'm a part of the reminder, just let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, they said it. But we can muse about it. But let's just let it go. Yes, it was a part in our history. Amen? But guess what we have to do? We got to let it go. Amen? Because if not, we're going to miss out on so many blessings by not letting it go. Questions will reveal your heart needs more content to replace the consumption of bad content. That's what questions will do. And I'm almost finished, guys. I said that 3 minutes ago. So your standing will remind me to just completely finish. If you'd be so kind to stand and rest on your feet. Questions will reveal your heart needs more content. Remember, we wrote down something about being more pliable or more open. What questions has the ability to do? Because there's another way. If we want to change, what we're doing is not working. Alpheus, what you're doing is not working. So perhaps the question today will help us start to get in the right direction. That is my prayer. I am praying that. this is the case. Philippians 4:8 is actually content that we need in our heart. There's a passage, I don't have it committed to memory. It says, your word I have hidden in my heart, in my levav, that I may not, what? Might not sin against God. That's why we need to hide God's word in our heart. Because look what's potentially there. That's just sitting there with a load of stuff, a lot of issues. Amen? So when we hide God's word in our heart, there's great benefits to that. Amen? Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to read this again. If you are a brother or a sister, just say your name, all right? Make it personal. And now, dear Alpheus and Alpheus, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. Everybody say, fix my thoughts on things that are pure, that are true. A lot of false. Check 1, 2. I know it's going to sound a certain way, but there's a lot of fake news going around. Amen. It's a lot of fake news. What do I mean by that? When folks say there's not a God, that God doesn't exist, that's fake news. Amen. That's what I mean by that. But fix your thoughts on what is true. How many believe the Bible is true? How many believe the Bible was God inspired? How many believe that God really did create the heavens and the earth? Awesome. How many really believe that the flood happened? If you can believe that creation is true, it's not going to be hard to believe that the crucifixion happened. Amen? Fix your heart on that, on those things. I know what the world is saying. I know what they're saying in school. I know what they're saying on social media. What is honorable? Amen? Everybody say honorable. I feel like an old person saying this, but it seemed like modesty is just gone. Amen. What is honorable? What is honorable? Amen. Because what you see on the exterior started where? It started in the interior. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So when you go back to the doctor, what will that checkup reveal? Matthew 5:8, reread, says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, what? See God. Y'all clap your hands if you learned something today. You laughed a little bit. You were inspired. You feel motivated to change. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Ruach spirit. It is aligning us today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, for teaching us.